Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 52. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Oh, I forgot, we have a camera. We're streaming now.
Wow. We're officially Screen Geeks TV now.
Or something like that.
Proof that there really is nothing good on television.
Yeah.
I think we beat Flavor Flav or Rock of Love.
It's true, but not Bret Michaels.
No.
Well, and as if we didn't look white enough in real life. Yeah. Oh, well. Such is life.
Thug life.
All right. Let's talk about what we watched this week. Who wants to start off? There's a lot of talking here in the chat room already about The Happening.
Oh, yeah, which I did finally watch. I forgot. I even forgot I watched it.
Confess. You're trying to put it out of
your mind.
I actually
watched it twice in one day.
Wow.
To see if it was really that bad, or?
Because my mom wanted to watch it, and I already watched it. And I was like, God.
Oh.
It was so bad. And it was awesome. I actually really enjoyed watching it. So, do I like hot dogs? Yeah, I think they're underrated.
So was it as bad as we had been saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
The part beginning with the gun. Absolutely amazing.
No. I can't even go there.
No? I thought it was really well done. How everyone killed themselves with the same gun. Spoiler alert. Oh, well.
My mom started laughing when the people started jumping off the building. She's like, just lost it. She goes, I would have walked out of the theater right now. It's like, oh.
If they changed the soundtrack, it could have been a comedy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Change it to like Yakety Sax.
Which is like the only good thing about the movie. The score was actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
But the thing for me was like the scene where they're walking and she tells him that she had tiramisu with a friend, and like he's supposed to be all upset, and later on in the movie he's like, well, I have something to tell you, and he goes on that stupid speech about how he was at the pharmacy, and he's just like, so
the part like talking through a can wasn't, well, there's a deal, so many deal breakers before that. Never mind. Okay. Did you watch anything else this week, Barry?
Watched a lot of horror films. I watched the original Creepshow, which didn't quite hold up as well as I remembered. Loved the look of the film. George Romero really captures the feel of a comic book in a way that I'd say, like, other than something like Sin City, I've never seen it done so aggressively. So that was a lot of fun, but I still remember being a lot better when I was a kid. Altered States, I told you I saw Altered States.
That's such an odd movie.
The moral of Altered States, do not ever take acid with William Hurt. Never take acid with William Hurt. That is the moral of that film.
So it's okay to take acid, just not with William
Hurt?
Just
not with William Hurt. Okay, that is bad news. Great effects, completely bonkers movie, but I got to say, I did thoroughly enjoy it. And I saw one with Linda Blair called Hell Night, which I got to say was actually much better than I thought it would be. She's in this, she's a new college girl, and to get pledged into this institution, fraternity, sorority, they have to spend the night at this house where apparently a killer is still there. So the whole movie, you're wondering, is it really a killer or is it somebody else? It's quite well done. It was, it's something of a Halloween ripoff, but it was well done. It actually jumped a few times.
Okay, Valencia brings up a good question. Josh, was The Happening worse than Mirrors?
No, because I actually really enjoyed watching. For as bad as it was, I took some pleasure out of watching The Happening, just because I was able to like laugh with it and not take it seriously.
It's fun to see someone's career go flying off a cliff.
Yeah, it really was. It was. So, no, I'd actually say Mirrors is worse than The Happening.
Wow.
I mean, just because like the fact, don't you? Didn't you get like a little bit of pleasure watching it? Because of how bad it truly was.
Oh, I was laughing. Yeah.
Mirrors is so bad that you can't even accept it like that. So
I was depressed though. I thought it was depressingly bad. In fact, that's what I told the Fox person outside. I'm like, sorry, that was depressingly bad. She's like, well, remember, you can't talk about it until Friday the 13th. I'm like, okay, I promise, I'll be good. I won't say anything.
I won't tell anyone.
So then I called Dave. Dave, you're not going to believe this awful movie I just saw.
There you go. No, didn't do that. Did you watch anything else this week, sir?
I did watch Midnight Meat Train again. So you guys have to come over and watch it before they take it off of the free demand thing.
Heck yeah.
Okay.
So
does it get better every time you see it?
It was a little underwhelming because it wasn't on a big screen. And I remember like the terror, well, maybe it was just the terror of me being in that dumpy movie theater. But really the chase scenes and stuff on the train were really like involving and stuff. And it didn't feel like that when you're watching on a tiny TV. But it was still good and gory. So.
Cool. Right. Excellent. Cool. Is that it for you?
That's it.
All right. My big thing, I actually watched Wreck. And the Spanish horror film Ethan is a huge fan of. And oh dear God, yeah.
Is it short for record or?
I don't know. I think so. Yeah, actually, it would, because it's surrounded by parentheses, like kind of like on a record button.
Okay.
And it makes me it proves that handycam horror, as I'm dubbing it as of right now, can be a viable way to tell a story and just scare the hell out of people. Because I agree with Ethan totally. It's really really freaking good. It's freaky as hell. I don't even know how they could match up to it with Quarantine. But now that I've seen Wreck, I don't need to see Quarantine. I'm good. So, yeah.
Cool. I didn't want to see Quarantine, so.
I might see Quarantine.
I mean, if you aren't going to go out and search out Wreck, it's worth checking out probably in the theater. But yeah, it's so worth waiting for on DVD or whatever. And yes, I didn't really see what else did I watch. Not really much else. Kind of surprised. Okay, I thought I'd watch more. All right, well, let's get into what is hitting theaters this week.
All right, from my high-tech sheet of paper that I wrote just a few minutes before the show started. Let's see. In theaters this week was Ridley Scott's Body of Lies, the remake of Wreck, Quarantine, and City of Ember.
So you saw City of Ember. Let's start off with that one.
disappointing. The special effects and the sets are spectacular. It doesn't help that I read the book, which is really a fantastic book. And the screenplay by Carolyn Thompson is so half-baked. She really just misses the whole point of the whole thing, which is that these people are living in darkness and how they're terrified of the darkness and how they're not aware that there's any world beyond this world. So they're afraid they're going to be permanently living in darkness. And the movie completely skips over that. They also give away the entire surprise of the whole story in the first 2 minutes, unlike the book. In the book, you don't realize that there is a world outside of Ember until like the last few pages. In the movie, it's the first thing. It's like, you know, they're underground. It's 200 years later, you know, and I thought it was kind of dumbed down in that sense. Bill Murray, he's very good, but he doesn't get to do a lot. It's a very interesting performance, but you really wish he was in the movie more. And Martin Landau and Tim Robbins and Toby Jones are in it so briefly and with such small roles. I wonder why they even decided to do it in the first place. The creepy girl from Atonement, Sarah Reese Ronan, whatever her name is. I just call it the creepy chick from Ronan, from Atonement. She's very good, but the guy who is cast opposite her is Harry Treadwater. Apparently, it's one of his first movies. He has no chemistry with her. And it's clearly one of his first movies. He is so weak that it really takes the film down when you've got these two actors who have no chemistry together. So overall, it's worth seeing because the special effects and the sets are so incredible. I mean, I wouldn't say, you know, read the book, skip the movie, because the movie is so impressive to look at. But in terms of it being an adaptation of a great book, it really does fall short.
The preview thing before Beverly Hills Chihuahua was about that, and they said that they did all the sets on where they built the Titanic.
I could see that because the sets are so huge, and the camera does pan around these amazing shots. It's clearly not CGI. We're clearly looking at these beautiful sets, and it's very well done, and parts of it are very exciting. But I think if you see the movie and not having read the book, it feels like there's a lot missing. It's like, who are these characters? Why does this add up? Why does he not know what a boat is? You know, all the stuff that made sense in the book, but the movie at 93 minutes, it really sold a great story short, I thought.
Sorry, I shouldn't read the chat room while someone else is talking. All right, okay, we got that. No one saw Quarantine. Shall we talk about Clear and Present Danger? I mean Kingdom. I mean Body of Lies.
Yeah, not the most original film this year. And I could see why they were so quiet about it. Before the screening started, one of a critic from the Washington Times leaned over. He's like, do you even know what this movie's about? I'm like, I have no idea. the studio's been really quiet about it. And I think because it's another Iraq war movie, it really is. I mean, but it's a Hollywood movie. It's, you know, it's like The Kingdom. It's not like Lions or Lambs or In the Valley of Allah.
I thought it was good overall. It's well worth. I mean, if you're gonna go see something in the theater, you could do far worse than this. I don't know. Ridley Scott really hasn't grabbed me for a couple movies now.
Mm. So you didn't like American Gangster either?
No. Oh, I hated American Gangster.
Oh, really?
I don't know. You hated.
I got bored. I got so bored watching that movie. And I usually I love when a movie just takes the time to flesh out its characters and really get, you know, dig into the world. For some reason, there's something about the last couple of Scott's movies that I'm just kind of not all there with. Even with Gladiator, you know, I enjoyed it the first few times. I owned it for a while, but then I watched it one day. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
What's the last Scott film you really loved?
You know, it was probably Gladiator. But
okay, for me, it's Matchstick Men. That's the last film of his that I really loved.
It was very good, but yeah, I don't think I own a single Ridley Scott movie.
Really?
Well, no, he did one of the Aliens movies, right?
Yeah,
so I do own it.
Do you own Blade Runner?
No.
Legend?
No.
You don't know Legend? Yeah. With the Who Tangerine Scream score?
No.
No, you but, own Legend?
Oh, yes. I really like the way that they developed the characters in Body of Lies. DiCaprio did great.
Yeah.
Everyone involved was good. Russell Crowe was the ultimate bureaucratic a-hole.
Yeah.
And was just, it was almost fun to hate his character. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was a good time, but it's nothing that's going to stick with me.
I loved Mark Strong as Hani, the guy who, the middleman. I thought he was terrific.
Yeah.
Did you like the love story element or no?
Yeah.
I thought it felt kind of
tacked on.
Kind of forced, but I thought, well, this is kind of a nice break from all the explosions and then voila.
Yeah.
Nice.
I could have taken or leaving that. It felt like it was kind of shoehorned in.
I thought it was a good movie, and that opening action sequence in the desert, the one they show a little bit of in the trailer, I thought was very well done. But yeah, I'd say it's very, very much a minor Scott film. I'd say like it's on the level of like the theatrical cut of Kingdom of Heaven. Good stuff, but not a great movie.
You got me. Director's cut of Kingdom of Heaven, I will watch anytime.
Okay.
There's a Scott film.
Okay.
Yes.
Really? I never saw that either.
You haven't seen that?
Uh-uh. I just didn't.
You still got DVDs of mine still, right?
Yeah. Oh, I did watch Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh! Okay.
This is news.
I understand why you liked it. I felt like that movie is to you as Rocky and Bullwinkle is to me. Just stupid and fun. I just wish it would have been more smart about its topics.
Fair enough.
Because it could have actually been a really good satire, but it's so stupid.
The songs were hilarious.
The songs were good. And whatever happened to Rachel Lee Cook?
Where did she go? She was in the remake of Get Carter with Stallone. That came out in 2000. I haven't seen her anything since.
Yeah. And the other thing, I was like, this is basically Guitar Hero the movie. Before they do Guitar Hero the movie. I guarantee it will be like the exact same plot.
No, they're not doing it.
Oh, they're not doing it anymore?
No, okay. No. Brett Ratner got shot down. I know everyone's really sad about there not being.
I'm sure it'll come back though.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be such a big commercial.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, some studio's going to make that happen.
They already made it. It's called Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny.
Mm.
And Josie and the Pussycats.
There you go. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about what DVDs are hitting this week.
This week, not David's favorite film of the summer, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, as featured on the new episode of South Park. I got to say, that was quite funny. One of my favorite films of the last few years, Terrence Malick's The New World, special extended edition. So more shots of weeds, of dogs, and things that have nothing to do with the movie, but it's so beautiful. The Unit, the title just struck me as funny, The Unit. Poltergeist, available on Blu-ray special edition, so get a good look at Carol Ann when she's covered with all that disgusting goo. John Cusack and Hilary Duff in War Inc. They've been calling this thing an instant cult classic. I think it's a little too soon to be calling it that. Sarah Silverman Show, Season 2, Volume 1.
I like Sarah Silverman and nobody else does.
And that's why we mentioned that. That's for you, Josh.
She had the funniest bit in The Aristocrats.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, it was wrong, but it was so funny.
Yes. And then finally, for all of you who just can't get enough of the little kids smacking burglars in the nuts, Home Alone, the complete collection. So you got the first one, great movie, holiday classic. You got the second one, which is completely useless. The third one, which has that cute chick from Gremlins 2, the redhead. She plays the mom.
Oh, she's the mom?
She plays the mom. Yeah, that's the only good thing. Haviland Morris, yeah. And the fourth one was straight to video. That's the one with the guy from Third Rock from the Sun, the squinty-eyed guy, whatever his name is. He plays one of the burglars.
Yeah,
he's like the biggest name in that whole movie. Yeah,
you don't like the pigeon lady?
No. Okay. No, Brenda Fricker as the pigeon lady, no. I thought that was so stupid. I liked Tim Curry as the
thank
as
you.
The
I like Home Alone too.
You like Home Alone too?
And apparently, I'm guessing this is Dave who's tuned in and from the / film cast. And if so, you have some love on your side, Josh.
Yes.
For Home Alone 2?
Home Alone 2.
Oh, wow. I'm backed into a corner in Home Alone 2.
You didn't like the toy, what, Duncan's toy chest and all that?
No.
Didn't do anything for you?
The stupid Donald Trump cameo? No, I did not. I thought it was such a forced sequel.
I went out and got one of those yak backs or whatever those were. What was that called? A talk back? Talk boy? Do you know what I'm talking
about?
Oh,
yeah. Like,
the thing
that he
uses in the movie?
Yes, yeah.
I had that like forever, and I always tried to like set up like the secret sour sheet and stuff with my parents. That never
so clearly this movie influenced your life.
Yeah.
See, I was too old for that.
You know? This is true.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we hit some news? Or should we talk about the South Park thing since that sparked a little bit of conversation?
Well, hey, let's give it to our fans, so...
Do you think it was out of place going that far with the joke?
No.
Okay.
I don't think they had to reach as far back as The Accused, but the Deliverance joke was very funny.
I think my only problem with the episode, it was basically two jokes over and over and over again. I wish they would have done more stuff with that, but it was so funny. I was like, whatever.
Kind of like the Family Guy episode this week where they used Surf and Bird for literally about half the episode. And I hate the Family Guy, but I laughed like crazy between that and the Office Space ripoff. The part about Jesus raising River Phoenix from the dead only to have him OD again was a little over the line, but yeah.
I think the thing I liked about South Park the most, though, was like we have all this stuff going on in the economy and the elections and stuff, and you know that they sat there
damn
going,
you, Ethan.
No, go stupid ahead. Indiana Jones, like that was their biggest problem of the year so far.
Well, I'm sure they're just getting warmed up. I mean, they're doing all the summer stuff. They're doing the Chinese Olympics angle, and then the
happening's coming.
Oh, I hope. We can only hope.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Shall we move on to some news?
Yeah.
All right, I've got the most news, don't I?
You do.
Okay, everyone, if you haven't been to pgporn.tv, you need to go. Barry hasn't seen it yet. We'll show him after the show. But it's Nathan Fillion featured in a... The catchphrase, I believe, is everything you love about porn except the sex. Awful acting. It's just hilarious. You've seen it, right,
yeah,
Josh?
Yeah, I did see it. That's pretty funny.
So we should explain specifically. This is not something that your like wife or girlfriend or mother is going to catch you and you're going to get like all busted for. This is on the same level as like as the... Oh, the Joss Whedon web show with...
Dr. Horrible.
Thank you. So it's on that level.
Absolutely. And it's just about as funny. It's heads down the typical porn path, if you will, the quote-unquote storyline, and takes a giant left-hand turn. Well worth watching. If you haven't seen it, check it out.
Cool.
So, and the Twilight trailer has come out.
Which I...
Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I kind of just like avoiding it.
Okay, here's...
I want to save the surprises for when I see it in theaters.
You don't want to see the vampires sparkle in the daylight?
Hmm.
Yeah. What? Apparently, I've been reading up a little bit, and apparently vampires don't melt in sunlight. They just kind of sparkle. So, here's the thing. This
like
is not
spirit
geared
fingers?
Toward,
or?
No, like they're wearing glitter, apparently. Oh,
okay. Does it sparkle with you? Sunshine!
This is one of those movies that we could either bash the ever-loving hell out of, or we could just say, you know what? This is not geared towards us. And as geeks, we've had enough stories come along, enough movies come along that we're like, ooh, I can't wait to see this, and everyone else makes fun of us. I think we can kind of give the Twilight fans space to, you know, enjoy their movie. Hope it's not bad for them. You know, if it's awful, well, oh well. But let's move on. Tron 2, or Tron 2 on whatever it's called right now. Apparently, they're going to do some kind of a rotoscoping / stereoscoping in 3D, and nice. They're going to be releasing it in Disney Digital 3D.
Awesome.
It's the kind of eye candy that very well could be just like Speed Racer, but I'm looking forward to it.
Hopefully more blue. Lots of blue and not as much red and every other color in the rainbow.
Yeah, well, oh yeah. Well, you saw the... Oh, you never saw the Tron thing, did you?
No.
I have it, and I'll show it to you later.
Fantastic.
Yes, yes. Why don't you go ahead and do yours?
Well, one of the scariest films I've ever seen, certainly the scariest movie I've ever seen in the theater, Tale of Two Sisters, the remake is officially coming out. It's called The Uninvited, not the scariest title ever, and it stars Elizabeth Banks, who looks admittedly creepy as the nanny from the, or rather the stepmom from the original story, but whereas the original had two cute little Korean girls struggling and giving really heartbreaking performances, the remake has two girls who apparently, I don't think they have any scenes where they're not in a bikini. In fact, I think there are more bikini shots in the trailer for The Uninvited than a whole season of The Hills, to tell you the truth.
I like Ariel Kebble, though. She's cute.
Who is she from?
She was from The Grudge, too. She was the girl that like got sucked into her hoodie.
Oh, yes.
And she was in something else. I can't remember. But that was like
cool.
The big one.
Well, you see a lot of her in the trailer for The Uninvited, which opens surprisingly, shockingly, in January. So.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Outside of The Ring, which even some people will disagree with, I thought that was still a good movie. This is just going to be another one in a long line of decent Asian horror that just gets kind of neutered when it becomes a U.S. movie. Yes. I can't see them doing this for real. There's no way.
Yeah.
Have you seen it, Josh?
Yes, I have seen it.
It's a freaky movie.
It is the scariest film I've ever seen, and the remake, the trailer at least, didn't even get a shudder out of me.
No. Mm. Fair enough. Okay. Oh, goodness. How geeky do we want to get this week? Oh, just...
Well, we're screen geeks.
Get it over with. Okay, David Goyer's come out, said anything you've heard about the next Batman movie is full of it. He hasn't started writing anything.
No Philip Seymour Hoffman is the Penguin? Oh.
Johnny Depp as the Riddler?
In between all the other 16 movies he's attached to for Disney. Yes, that's what he's doing next. Yeah. So, okay. Not that that's a shock or anything. What's kind of interesting is that they're talking about having... Pauly Shore playing Killer Croc. I might actually pay to see that. Wow. Okay, then. Oh, hated 1408? Really?
I did, too.
Okay, that's right. We've gone through this. Yes, yes. Okay, I like the director's cut a little bit better, but that's beside the point.
Is there more Samuel Jackson in it?
Not really.
Okay.
It has an alternate ending, which is so-so.
Okay.
I liked it better, but personal preference. They're talking about Ryan Gosling possibly playing Hal Jordan in the new Green Lantern movie. Hmm. Pure rumor at this point. I think it's an interesting choice. He's a capable enough actor. I think he could pull it off. I don't know if he can pull off cocky quite enough.
I hope he sticks with the edgy art films before he jumps into the studio world, because there is a danger of him. He is that good. that he could definitely pull that off, and he's a great actor, but I hope that he does more stuff and establishes himself like Johnny Depp before he becomes like Tobey Maguire, whereas Tobey Maguire used to be a real indie favorite. He did Spider-Man, and now he's just Spider-Man. So I hope Gosling continues to hone his craft before he jumps into the commercial comic book movie world, which is obviously very prolific and great for him, but it can be a real trap. I mean, for everyone like Johnny Depp, there's, you know, guys like Michael Keaton and Tobey Maguire who are only known for that now.
Yeah. So absolutely. Two left. Josh Brolin apparently is in rumored to be playing Jonah Hex as opposed to
Thomas Jane. Hmm. Which is kind of like, oh.
It's kind of a bummer, but I think the character's just fun enough that if you get someone who can play that kind of guy right, and Planet Terror pretty much showed that he can play a little bit off.
Oh, yeah. No, I love Doc. That's my favorite character, I think, from Planet Terror, but it's kind of like I wanted to see. I feel bad
Thomas Jane needs to work.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin is doing really well right now. But yeah, Thomas Jane hasn't starred in a movie since Punisher. The Mist, which was not a hit either. So
still a good movie, though.
Great movie.
Yeah. And finally, speaking of The Mist, Frank Darabont has jumped ship. He has left Law Abiding Citizen. He was working on it and apparently had a nice falling out and said bye-bye. Nice, which is okay. This is like the latest in the line of Death Sentence, Death Wish type movies. And do we really need another one of these?
No, we don't.
No, and you guys still need
Jamie
to see
Foxx this time.
Oh, no, you did finally see Kevin Bacon.
Death Sentence? Death, oh, yeah. It was really good.
That's how I'm seeing it.
It's good.
But yeah, we don't need any more of these.
Steve Carell is going to return for Get Smart 2.
Yes.
Do we need a sequel?
No, I think the first one was fine. It's like City Slickers. They never should have made a sequel. Seriously, the first one was great. Just great. We didn't need to go further.
Lethal Weapon 5 is on
Why?
Fast Track.
That's a weird one.
Okay, we can... Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't really remember
Gibson needs the work.
The last one that well, but really? I remember not being that good.
With Jet Li and Chris Rock.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. That's right.
I thought it was pretty great, actually. But, you know, not a great movie, but great for what it was, considering they shot it without a screenplay. And so much of it was ad-libbed, and yeah. Yeah, it was like one of the most expensive improvised movies ever made.
Huh.
All right.
Oh, and there is a new video of Dr. Manhattan, making of Dr. Manhattan.
I have not seen it
on the Watchmen site. It's pretty cool. They show a couple more shots of like him in his lab and being tall.
Is there actual talking?
And stuff. No. Still no talking, no dialogue.
I think is that on Yahoo Movies as well?
Or? Yeah, I think
so. Okay, yeah, because that's what the Uninvited trailer is as well.
So definitely check that out if you're looking forward to Watchmen because it's cool.
All right. Cool. All right, well, let's take a quick break for some commercial-type goodness, which everyone heard earlier if you're streaming. But, here we go. We'll be right back.
You ever read comic books?
I don't. I mean, what's the point with all the capes we have flying around these days? Every hero worth his salt has a cool origin story, right? Well, that's a load of crap. Maybe it happens sometimes to those headline heroes, but not the metahumans I know. Most of us feel like we were gang raped by a cosmic freight train with a twisted sense of humor. Welcome to Metamediocrity, an audio comic book written and read by Jay Lynn. Join us for our full podcast at metamediocrity.com, where you'll find lively discussion on a wide range of topics along with regular episodes of this audio comic.
Sue Ellen Greenblatt is a real person, not an internet celebrity. So we've enlisted Billy Flynn and the Vicar to help her tell her story.
Geek Radio Daily gives me geeky news about movies, new DVD releases, even comics and gaming.
Geek Radio Daily makes me feel special.
Ah, yeah.
Womanly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episodes are just 15 minutes, perfect for my commute or for just geeking out while I'm at the office.
Mm. All in one concise love package.
Ooh, the package, baby.
Uh-huh. And the best part is that it's a daily cast, so I'm always in the loop.
Sometimes I listen to it out of the bath, put on little outfits.
Ah!
It makes me want to invite all my friends over to show how refreshed I feel.
A slumber party, baby.
What? That's not what I said.
Get out the
chocolate mousse.
Duct tape.
Oh, get out of here, you freaks.
Geek Radio Daily. One 15-minute podcast provides 15% of the USDA recommended daily allowance of geeky goodness. Subscribe through iTunes or visit geekradiodaily.com.
Let's move on to what we're talking about this week.
Books turned movies. The good, the bad, and the unreadable. Yes. There are a few good ones. Go ahead, guys.
I'm totally unprepared, so
Well, some of my favorites, books that actually were fantastic books.
Now, have you read the book and seen the movie?
Okay. Yes, yes, I'm an avid reader. The ones that I'm especially fond of, Ken Kesey's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Arthur C. Clarke's 2001 A Space Odyssey, Robert Bloch's Psycho. What else? Stephen King's Misery. So-so book, fantastic movie. They got rid of some of the gorier, more unnecessary parts of the book and made it into, I think, a much better movie. Concerning how faithful it was, I can't say it's... I don't know if it's the best Hannibal Lecter movie-turned-book, or book-turned-movie, rather, but I really loved what they did with Red Dragon. I thought it was very faithful
even
to the book.
Even though Ratner did it?
Even though Ratner did it. Best thing he's ever done, I think. Best thing he's ever done. And they added the whole opening sequence of that movie was actually not in any of the books, so I think that it was a really nice expansion and really was something fans wanted to see. Richard Price's Clockers, made into a great movie by Spike Lee. Lasse Holmström's film of The Shipping News, great book, great movie. And that's of course, what's her name? Can't think of her name all of a sudden. How Stella Got Her Groove Back, so book, great movie. And as far as the movies, I don't like that are from great books. You know, great stuff, but I can't see. I thought Jurassic Park was a much better book than it was a movie.
Oh, you beat me to it.
One of the worst movies ever made from one of my all-time favorite book, Tom Wolfe's Bonfire of the Vanities. Even with Tom Hanks and Bruce Willis and Morgan Freeman, it's a terrible, terrible movie. Speaking of Tom Hanks, The Da Vinci Code. I thought it really... You know, the book is a page-turner. I've read the book. It's a very entertaining book. Every chapter ends with a cliffhanger. You can't help but turn the pages, but I thought the movie was so freaking boring. And then finally, for me... John Grisham, he's done a lot of books turned movies, but I thought The Firm was a terrific book, and I thought the ending of the movie was a real waste. I thought they really blew it.
Wait, did I hear you say that How Stella Got AIDS? I mean, How Stella Got Her Groove Back was a good movie.
Yes, ouch. Yes, great movie.
Okay then.
Waiting to Exhale, on the other hand, not as good. Great book, bad movie.
So I'm kind of surprised you didn't bring up Blade Runner.
Well, it was a short story.
Okay. No. Really don't count it as the same thing?
Nah.
No, it's not a short story, isn't it? Isn't it on How Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Yeah, which is a short story.
It's a short story?
It's a short story.
I read the novel, though.
Yeah, like, and there's also other stories in there. It's like 76 pages long.
Oh, really? The book that we read was like a book.
Hmm. There's a bunch of smaller stories in there.
Should be.
Could have sworn it, wasn't it? Okay.
Okay, maybe not.
I'm surprised you didn't talk about The Ruins.
Oh, that's another one to talk about. Lousy book, lousy movie.
Well, no, great book, not so great movie, iRobot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here's the thing, they shouldn't have even called it iRobot. They barely mentioned the three robotic laws, and that was about it. Because the book didn't have any explosions. So I understand, it's a Will Smith movie, so you got to have explosions, but yeah.
I Am Legend's another one, too. Although, is that that would be a short story, though, too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that was a short story.
It was a short story.
Although, unless you can as a graphic novel.
There you go. I thought this a great film for what it was, especially for the first hour, but I'm still waiting for a great I Am Legend movie.
And then you got that Larry Elmore stuff, like Get Shorty and Out of Sight. And,
yes.
Which, you know, highly regarded books and pretty darn good movies, too.
Yeah, Elmore Leonard. Yeah, I like his stuff. Except for, wait a second, he did... No! I'm thinking of a different. I thought of Striptease for a second. That's a different author. But Elmore Leonard. Yeah. Good Shorty. Be Cool. I thought was a much better book than it was a movie.
Well, but did the book have The Rock as the gay enforcer?
I honestly don't remember. It's been a while since I read it.
That was like the one high point of the movie.
Ethan wants to know if there's any good pop up books turned into movies.
That's an excellent question, Ethan.
See Spot Run, or what was it? Fun with Dick and Jane. Isn't that kind of based off the Dick and Jane books?
No.
No?
No.
That's not? That wasn't?
No, the Jim Carrey movie? No.
Yeah, no?
No, oh, no. Well, the title was just a play on it. And, oh. Yeah, no relation.
Have you ever read The Princess Bride?
No, by William Goldman.
Yeah.
I have not read that.
It plays very much like the movie does.
Cool.
It's very fun. It'll randomly go off into little rabbit trails all over the place, but it's still fun. It still brings it back, and it carries a lot of the fun that the movie had as well.
Okay. So, excellent.
Have we already hit the wall?
Were there any books that like
we haven't talked about Lord of the
worse,
Rings,
and then the movies were better?
Well, I thought The Lost World, weak book, even weaker movie.
Well, I'm saying like the movie was actually better than the book. No,
I'd say my pick is Stephen King's Misery.
Okay,
it's probably my pick for the.
Yeah, I'd almost say this is kind of going to be a low blow to a lot of people, but the miniseries of The Stand I thought was far more entertaining than the book.
I've heard a lot of people say that actually.
Is that with Ron Perlman?
No. You're thinking of Desperation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom Clancy is someone who's been, you know, they've gone to that well many times. And there was a time when I was a huge Tom Clancy fan. Hunt for October was not that close to the book, but it was still a very fun movie.
Yeah.
Patriot Games pissed me off to no end because it didn't stay to the book at all. Right. And it could have been a really cool story. Clear and Present Danger is probably the closest one that they've had. It's been the most faithful to Clancy's original work. And Some of All Fears, I was mad because in the book, instead of it being Islamic terrorists, it was actually an American Indian, you know, Native American. So yeah. I think to make that change in the name of being politically correct was kind of stupid. Why?
Because somebody, I can't pronounce that. Marty. Oh, hey, Marty. He just said, what about the novelist of movies turn books like the novelization of The Marine? I actually read before The Lost World came out. I read Michael Crichton's, that's who wrote it, right?
Yep.
The Lost World. And then I read the novelization of the movie The Lost World before I saw the movie.
Hmm.
So, have you guys ever read any of those, the novelization of the movies?
Yep.
When I was like in grade school, it's like, hey, this is cool. I get to read Space Camp.
I have that at home. How funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of those, and I've read a lot of those too. Especially when I was too young, to see Total Recall, so you know, I read the book before I saw the movie. You know, that was always a thing. I've got a bunch of Friday the 13th movies, novelizations, because I was too young to see the movie again.
I gotta say,
I actually did that with The Running Man.
Oh, okay,
which is actually written by Stephen King.
That's right. Yeah,
I just thought of some movies that were based off books: Fight Club, American Psycho.
Yes,
I did read Fight Club. I haven't read American Psycho. Scanner Darkly. Speaking of,
yep.
Philip K. Dick. So
yeah, I've read the Fight Club, and I like what the movie does so much better. But I just don't like Pahuliak's style. He's so disgusting. Yeah. He's so gross. American Psycho is a much better movie, I think, than a book, because even though the satire is there, the book is so overwhelmingly disgusting.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Really, really nasty stuff.
Should we talk about Lord of the Rings?
We all ringed out
briefly.
Yeah, you guys can. I just.
You don't. Well, why don't you want to talk about it, John?
I don't like fantasy stuff. I just didn't like. I didn't know anything about Lord of the Rings before we went and saw Fellowship of the Ring, and I literally thought the movie was going to be over. Like once they got out of the Shire, I was like, "Oh, it's going to be the end." And the movie kept going and going and going.
So you're along the Kevin Smith line of thought.
Yeah, I don't have fun with those movies.
You didn't like Gollum or the giant talking spider or no? Viggy?
No, it didn't do anything for me.
Okay.
Fair enough. Okay. Harry Potter.
Well, you guys like him though, right?
Well, I do, but we've talked about him enough over the past however long that, you know, can just say, hey, great, not so much. Harry Potter. Has anyone read any of the books?
Yes, I've read the first three.
Okay. How do they stack up?
I think I'm the only one that I don't like the third movie. And that's like everyone's favorite Harry Potter film.
Second one's my favorite.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people who haven't read the books love the third ones. As one of their favorites, which is like myself, Steph, my wife has read all the books, hates the third movie. This is just a topic we don't talk about.
Oh, okay.
Because it brings up anger. So
I like the time travel angle. I thought that was really interesting the way they handled that. And, you know, Gary Oldman, nice the way they introduced him into the series.
I really liked Goblet of Fire, but that seems to be like everyone's least favorite one, too. With the dragon and stuff. I don't know.
Fourth one. Okay.
It's sad when you can't keep track of all the movies.
Let's see if I can do it. Sorcerer's Stone.
Okay, let's stop that.
Chamber of Secrets. Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yes.
Goblet of Fire.
Half-Ass Prince.
What?
Sorry, Half-Blood Prince. Half-Blood
no, that's
Prince.
The last one, though, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Deathly Hallows is the last one. Oh. Half-Blood Prince. What's the fifth one?
I don't even remember.
And the Search for Hermione.
I don't know. It doesn't
matter. Search for your mom. Okay.
I have not seen Dune. Have you guys seen Dune?
Yes. Yeah. Well, the sci-fi TV channel miniseries was very faithful to it. The David Lynch movie kind of cut a lot of corners, and they cut some really pivotal information out that really would have made it more comprehensible, I think. Not a bad movie at all.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of the Crystal Skull of Fire. I like that.
Nice. Sums it up for me.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. This is the one downside to having a chat room. I'm really into reading it, then talking back about it. Sorry. So, okay. Should we just kill the topic, or is there more that you would like to go into?
No. Well, yeah, we can mention those. I mean, are there some you guys can think of, too? Or
Most of mine
We hit the ceiling?
Well, no, I liked The Client. the Grisham movie. I know it's very much down on the low, a lot of people's lists, but I didn't think it was too bad.
It's a good film.
Yeah. Clockwork Orange. Oh, dear God, A Clockwork Orange. I love it, but I'll never own it just because some movies I just don't need to own.
It's a really tough book to read just because it's got the Russian glossary at the back. You got to keep going to know what the heck they're talking about half the time. But it's a it's an amazing read.
And then one that's, you know, not only a highly regarded book, but considered a true cinematic classic is To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Gregory Peck is absolutely amazing in that film.
Yeah.
It's the movie. I always, when I was a kid, I always got him and Cary Grant mixed up. And then, you know, I've realized that, oh, Cary Grant's kind of funny, and then not so much.
Gregory Peck is Atticus Finch.
Yes.
Did you guys like any of the versions of A Christmas Carol? Dickens?
Disney.
Like the one with Marley and Marley?
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed.
I have to admit, I've only seen the Muppet one.
You've only seen the Muppet
one? You've only seen the Muppet one? Oh, wow. Okay. I've got some you need to borrow.
Did you ever see the one with George C. Scott?
Okay, you're borrowing that one and the Patrick Stewart one.
Hmm.
Because, yeah, they're both very good versions.
You guys see Scrooged? It's a good version.
No, I haven't seen that either.
Oh, it's good. Okay. You're young, though.
I know.
You're allowed to miss movies.
Am I?
Well,
not in my class.
Well, there's that, too. Yeah.
There's a book I had to read for class
up
in Boulder, and the movie starred Sarah Pauley.
Sarah Pauley. Was it The Sweet Hereafter, but the bus?
Yes, that's what we watched. That was okay.
Yeah.
That was better than the book.
Real downer.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Did you guys see The Shipping News?
No.
Great movie. Great book.
Okay. Stand By Me.
Stand By Me, yes. From the Body. The story by Stephen King, yeah.
Yeah. Some of Stephen King's stuff, even though he's known as a horror guy, really has a lot of heart behind it.
Oh, yeah. He wrote Rita Hayworth and The Shawshank Redemption. And
Yeah. Again, also a true classic as well. Yeah.
Beowulf.
You really reached there real far
you
back.
You want to go to Beowulf, huh?
Did you guys not like it?
I love Beowulf.
No, not really.
IMAX 3D was pretty sweet.
It got kind of like Simpsons-esque, you know, in the Simpsons movie when they're hiding Bart's junk as he was skateboarding. Mm. That was going a lot, and that was really funny. And, you know, the CG work was pretty well done, but overall I wasn't all that enthralled by it.
I still can't believe you went and saw it on IMAX 3D after the terrifying experience that we had at Comic-Con.
Yes, and I got to say, though, it was better than I thought it would be. It was thrilling. And I'm glad we didn't see his junk because I didn't really want his junk flying at me in 3D, so it actually worked out quite well.
Ooh, Trainspotting is a very good pick.
Yes.
I got to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a tough book.
I'm the only one that liked Jarhead among this group, but I haven't read the book.
Hmm.
I know you didn't like Jarhead, right?
No. And I read about a chapter of the book, and I'm just like, this is not for me.
But they made a movie out of Lord of the Flies?
Yeah, they've made a few. The last one came out in 1990 with Balthazar Getty.
Oh, is it any good?
No.
No?
No, there's still yet to be.
The Criterion?
Yeah, they still need to make a really great version of it. You know, one of my favorite books, Orwell's 1984, you could say Brazil. I mean, how many movies have done movies like it? But there really hasn't been a really great 1984 yet.
Well, and I like the 70s version of Fahrenheit 451, too. Which just broke Josh's brain, apparently.
No, I've read Fahrenheit 451. I haven't seen the movie though.
It's kind of cheesy, but it's still pretty darn good. I remember seeing it as a kid.
I remember at one point Darabont was going to do that as a film.
Yeah,
with Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, Hitchhiker's Guide.
Hitchhiker's Guide
needs to be brought up because I think it's the perfect picture of what happens when you try to put too much into a movie and don't try to make a coherent story out of it.
Mm.
Granted, we are talking about Hitchhiker's Guide, so you could argue that there really is no coherent story in the book. But while I really enjoyed the movie and I own it, my wife she watched it. She's like, okay, whatever, and just kind of walked away. So that's one thing that you always run into if you try to stay too faithful to a book. Sometimes a story point doesn't translate well to film, or you just try to stick too much in. Because, I mean, each of those books could pretty much be split into two movies.
I thought that was one of the problems with the first Harry Potter movie. I thought it worked so hard to be so incredibly faithful that it didn't feel like a movie that had its voice. It was like it was trying so hard to recreate all the magic and moments of the book that I thought it was a movie into the series until the movies kind of found its own voice. Because initially, it was like, okay, this is Harry Potter, this is Hermione.
Okay, then.
This is Hogwarts.
Well, I know the Harry Potter Universal theme park opens in 2 years.
Does it really?
Down in Florida.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wow. They're taking it's the Islands of Adventure parks with all the different themes, and they're turning one of them into Harry Potter. So you get to ride the Hogwarts Express and go get your boogered flavored gummy worms and all that.
But can I play Quidditch though? That's what I would go for.
I don't
probably
know.
VR.
Hmm.
I don't know.
How about those things that get the fairs, the swings, you know, where they just kind of swing you around? Maybe if they shape them like brooms.
And
And you hold on for dear life.
Yeah. That sounds like fun.
A Tim Burton theme park would be absolutely terrifying. I don't know if I'd want
to. It would be kind of gothic-y, yeah.
Okay. Go get your hair cut by Sweeney Todd.
Or by Edward Scissorhands. Yeah. No, you get your hair cut by Scissorhands.
You shave from Sweeney Todd.
Yeah,
gotcha. There you go. And watch some crappy movies by Edward.
There you go. Yeah. All right, then. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap this up, because we could keep going for quite a while. And you know, I like the fact that we get a lot of material.
From our audience?
Yes, that's nice. This is beautiful.
I was unprepared today.
Yeah, well, you know. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. If you want to let us know what your favorite movies based on books, shoot us an email, and we'll have all the contact information at the end. What's hitting theaters this week, sir?
A lot of movie critics love to use part of a title of a movie to sum up how they feel about a movie. I'm going to be the first one to say Max Painful opening, starring Mark Wahlberg. The Secret Life of Bees, speaking of painful, not a great book, even though it was a bestseller, but it's becoming a film now with Dakota Fanning and Queen Latifah.
Isn't it about rape?
No, that's Hound Dog.
Oh, okay.
And that one already came out.
This is the other Dakota Fanning movie. this is for the whole family. Not for the whole family. Sex Drive, starring James Marsden and Seth Green. And finally, the movie I cannot wait to see more than any other movie this year, Oliver Stone. Josh Brolin is W.
And you know, I want to see this. It looks like it's going to be a fun movie.
It looks very entertaining.
If you're too stuck in your political views one way or another, you may not find it very entertaining. But I think if you go into it looking for a good time, this could be.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I mean, it's, despite what side of the political spectrum you're on, I think it's going to tell a really, really engrossing story. We know that Bush was a bit of a partier who changed his life around, found Jesus. All of a sudden, he's the president of the United States of America. That's a gripping story. And I think despite what you think or don't think, I think the movie is going to be an entertaining film. I can't say Oliver Stone's going to play fair because, let's face it, the guy does not play fair, but. Especially with Nixon, you know, I remember he said like, "Oh, it was fair and balanced depiction of." No, it wasn't. That was a total smack in the face of Richard Nixon. But it was a great movie.
So. Fair enough. And Sex Drive, I want to see because of James Marsden.
And it's been getting good reviews. So
it has. I've heard people say that, you know, Marsden's going to be typecast eternally as the nice guy or the emo guy or whatever, the guy who never gets the girl. And this time he's taking on the role of, you know, the big a-hole, big brother from the 80s movies, teen movies. So I want to see him do it. The clips that I've seen look really funny. Thought about going last night, but the weather just was, you know.
Hey, now it's all nice and beautiful outside.
I couldn't even see, like, in front of my face last night outside. It was so scary.
It was very foggy and creepy. Yeah. It was like London.
Or the fog.
Or the fog.
All right. What's it in DVD next week?
Edward Norton is The Incredible Hulk, available in 1 and 3-disc special edition.
I'm starring Captain America.
Oh, yeah. I'm guessing the third disc is going to be the coaster digital copy again.
So stupid. They got to get rid of this stupid trend. Either put something real on it or don't put anything on it at all. Ben Stein and Expelled, No Intelligence Necessary. I thought very uneven but interesting documentary that came out last summer. Looney Tunes Golden Collection Volume 6.
Okay, I want to bring this up.
Who doesn't want this?
This is also the last Golden Collection that they're doing. Each one of these, they've done, this is their sixth set of 4 discs of Warner Brothers cartoons. I don't know what they're going to do with the releases from there, if they're going to start going by years or what, but they've put out a lot of really good stuff, but there's still a lot left to come out too. So yeah, awesome. I can't wait to get it.
Yeah, who wouldn't want this? Scott Speedman, Liv Tyler versus The Strangers, one of Josh's favorite films. 10 best of the year, you think, so far? One of your favorites? No? Okay.
I liked it, though. I did like it.
Yeah, I think the only person I know who saw it twice. I couldn't do it.
And it was in like 2-day period, too. Wow. Dude. My stomach was
Did
like,
you sleep at all during that time?
No, I was actually more scared the second time, too.
Because you and I are neighbors. We live out in the woods. You know,
it is terrifying.
That movie, you know, I didn't love it as much as you did, but seriously, I think about the movie a lot when I'm home alone at night in the woods. Anyway. Sold Out, A Thrievening with Kevin Smith.
Which you can buy from Quick Stop Entertainment, autographed by Kevin Smith for like $25.
Wow, that's an excellent deal.
So yeah,
so go to Quick Stop Entertainment.
Hey, we gotta put some love out for there for a Chris
absolutely. Tip. Thank you, Chris. Available in Criterion Special Edition, Missing, starring Jack Lemmon and Sissy Spacek. This is the Costa Gravis film. Excellent film, one of the best of the '80s. Casino Royale, not the version you like. This is the 40th anniversary with, among other people, Peter Sellers and Woody Allen as James Bond.
And
not
Ursula
a great movie.
Andress.
Yeah, great cast, bad movie. But, on the other hand, there is the 3-disc special edition of Casino Royale, the version you do like. But
I already have the two discs. Do I need a third disc?
And is that third disc what we've been talking about? It's just
no. It's actually supposed to be more bonus features.
Oh, really?
But I've gotten all that I need. Mm-hmm. I enjoy Casino Royale. I'm glad I got it, but I don't think I need to double dip on this.
You think
this
it'll
one.
Come with the free ticket for Quantum of Solace?
Possible. Hmm. That's possible. Yeah,
that's tempting because I don't own Casino Royale yet. So
well, they do that. They'll probably do it for several movies. They'll probably buy any Bond movie or whatever else. Get a free ticket.
And then finally, two of the corniest but most completely enjoyable TV shows from the 80s, Knight Rider and The Incredible Hulk, available in the complete series. That's pretty great.
How many seasons? It's like 3 or 4 seasons, something. I don't know, but it's multiple DVDs of the Hoff.
I think, yeah, and I think the Hulk was on longer than Knight Rider, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's also coming out next week.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, if you're a child of the 80s, you know, I'm a child of the 80s, and I don't need to own Knight Rider.
No, it's fun in small doses, but as far as like the whole mythology of Kit the Car, and then Michael,
for my money, the A-Team was a better show.
A-Team was a great show compared to Knight Rider because that cast was so charismatic. Hasselhoff is just
Hasselhoff.
He's kind of like William Shatner without the versatility or the acting ability. He's just he's a cheese sandwich. You're a cheese sandwich, David Hasselhoff. And then finally.
He's going to come up back off the set of America's Got Talent. No, okay, whatever.
Come, we'll be love to. I'd love to have you on the show. I'd ask him about when he played Nick Fury. I'd love to talk.
Yeah, that to DVD recently too. I think it's a Best Buy.
The guy was on Baywatch for how many years? The guy's totally my hero. And then finally, the trash pick of the week: Trailer Park of Terror. That is the trash title of the week.
I had to put this in there because when I went to see Body of Lies yesterday during the Cinemark first look, they had. This big long commercial for Trailer Park of Terror. I'm like, wow. Really? This is like Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror.
What is it? Is it a zombie movie?
No, it's like an anthology series, like Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror or like really bad.
It's like Creepshow 3, really bad.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Not good stuff at all. So all we got for releases?
That's it.
Did you watch The Office this week?
No, I missed it. Really good?
It was better than the...
Better than the pilot?
That's my opinion. So... I just want to bring that up. Sorry.
I will check it out. A lot of surprises, a lot of twists, and
no, but it was funny.
Sometimes that's all that matters.
I hear that Amy Ryan's only going to be on for 6 episodes.
Yeah, I hear that too.
It kind of sucks. I was hoping they would get married for Pete's sake. Yeah, I was really hoping they would go all the way.
He's got a baby. Well, it's not his baby.
That's true. That's true.
The chat room saying that you have a lot of screen presence.
I have a lot of screen presence.
I think it's more about Hasselhoff.
Oh.
Or I could be wrong.
They're talking about David Hasselhoff. They're not talking about me.
Dude, if you have screen presence from a webcam.
Wow.
That's pretty. How come you haven't tried acting? Oh, no, you're a theater actor, though, right?
Yeah, I did a lot of acting.
Sorry.
I had a whole career as a film actor. Not a film actor. As a stage actor. Actually, one of my things that I said when I graduated from high school, when I got up to the Pope, was that by the age 30, I'm going to win an Academy Award. Like a real cocky bastard. I said that. And then I moved to Colorado. I'm like, you know what? Theater is where it's at. So I did theater. And
well, you should get back on that Oscar road if you got this much screen presence.
Wow. If I have this much screen presence. Are you sure they're not talking about Hasselhoff?
No, it's Ethan. And he says you have a lot of screen presence. And then he says adult film actor.
Okay, we need to. Well, this is derailing.
Sad, but true. Thanks, Ethan.
Well, how long is our show? We can't keep going.
No, we're coming up on an hour. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll shut up.
Yeah, well, an hour from when we started broadcasting. So I'd like to keep it to an hour if we can. If you'd like to email us, by all means do. You can hit us at podcast, Barry, Josh, Dave, or Ethan, who's in the chat room today, at screengeeks.com. You can also hit us on Skype. It's actually David Minkus. If you hit our contact us page at screengeeks.com, you can get to it that way. Or you can leave us a voicemail at 719-387-1804. And I guess that'll wrap it up.
I'm on Twitter now, too.
Are you? What's your Twitter name?
It's Stuntman Josh.
Yes, it is.
So
cool. And
come find me.
Ethan is Ethan Vez. I'm under Screen Geeks, but I think I'm going to do a separate one for me. That way we can keep the Screen Geeks one separate.
And we're going to get Barry on that train, too.
We'll try.
Since I have so much screen
presence. Well, you're on MySpace and Facebook now, right?
I am. Yeah, I'm out there.
There you go. All right, cool. Well, I guess we'll just wrap it up once the music starts. Okay, until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Take it easy.